Ballard is the founder of Rapid Growth Coach. He is an award-winning speaker. He is an award-winning and best-selling author and a returning guest to the Lifeblood podcast. Welcome back to the show, Matthew.
I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah. Excited to dig into it. Refresh our memory. Tell us a little about your personal life, some more about your work and why you do what you do.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, personal life, I'm an Australian living in America. So a lot of people are going to ask, obviously, where the accent's coming from. It's coming from Melbourne, Australia. I moved to America when I turned 30. And, you know, it was really interesting when I first got here, because when you start and decide you want to start in a totally brand new place, I mean, I spent a lifetime awkwardly fostering a network in Australia. And then when I moved to the United States, I pretty much had to start again. And what I realized is that so many people really struggle to articulate what it is they do. And I remember going to a networking event the first time I said, yeah, because I've been responsible for 5 multi-million dollar success stories. I've, you know, taught a whole bunch of people. I was like, oh, I'll call myself a sales trainer. And the first time I said that, somebody looked at me like I was one step above a scam artist. And then I said, I'm never doing that again. I'll say I'm in marketing. And they were like, oh, I need marketing. How much do you cost? And I'm like, okay, so now I'm talking about price. I just met you. Or you'd get that awkward, oh, I'm working with someone in marketing, which was terrible. So I remember going to YouTube and looking for strategies in order to network more authentically. And the best I could find was this transactional elevator spiel, which is, I do this for this group of people, even if. And I was like, yuck. And what I realized is that networking was just the way people did it was it came out of the door-to-door sales world, I felt. And so I felt it was time for a change. So I actually created a new type of networking for myself, and it worked amazingly well. I mean, I went from knowing nobody in a brand new city to one of the most networked people in the city. And now I've got one of the largest networks globally. And it all came from really talking about my passion and what I really care about, as opposed to the features and functions of what I do. So now I teach people how to do that. I teach people how to stop competing on price, because if you start with sales, you kind of already lost. And, you know, I get the opportunity to speak globally, really across the world around how to obtain rapid growth in a business that you love. So, I just love doing it.
Everything you said makes so much sense. And so has it been connecting with people, or do old habits die hard? Both?
You know, so the answer is yes and yes. So yes, it definitely connects with people, because I feel that most people would rather get a root canal than go out networking the way most people see it. And I feel like there's transactional networking, which is you see some extroverts do it. They walk around going, do you want to buy from me? No, what about you? What about you? What about you? And I'm not that person. Even a lot of extroverts aren't that person. But what I find is a lot of people go back to what I call aimless networking, which is where you go in and, you know, somebody asks you what you're doing. You're like, well, my day job's this. I mean, who wants to talk to someone that doesn't even care about what they do for a living, right? So, and don't get me wrong, people are three-dimensional beings and there's a lot of other things going on in their life. But strategic networking should be about conveying passion. I mean, I feel like when somebody asks you what you do, natural response is, you know, I do this and I do this and I do this, which is so eye-centric. And the truth is that people want to believe that you care about them before they even come close to caring about what you do. So what I've really structured is a way of articulating what you do from a place of passion and then leveraging story to explain what you do. The thing that's been really interesting is, and it's funny because introverts don't want to make anything about themselves, but when you ask them to change and start talking about why they care, that requires a level of empathy, which introverts have in spades, but it needs to be planned and prepared. So what happens is they default back into what they have always said. And I mean, that never worked for them in the past. It's not going to work for them now. So it's been really interesting for the last decade while I've been doing this. I mean, the people that have embraced it, it's really transformed their lives because they feel more authentic in the networking room. And here's the secret. If you have to be the loudest in the networking room, you also have to be the loudest online. Because if you can't articulate the value of what you provide someone when they're politely listening to in a networking room for 2-3 minutes, what chance do you have when people give you a fraction of a second? So what I learned is if you can be the clearest, you don't have to be the loudest in the networking room. And then really easily, you don't have to be the loudest in the digital world either. Because, I mean, for the average introvert listening to this, the last thing you want to do is be taking photos of your dog or donut for something to say on social media. But that's what you feel like you have to do. And that's not actually true. It's just that, again, people are being the loudest. They're like, look at me, I'm still here, I'm still here, which is what people do by going to all those networking events. But if you can be the clearest, you don't have to be the loudest online either. So what I've found, or what my the thesis of my new book is let me show you how to master the networking room so you never have to go back to one.
Yeah. Okay. I love it. So can you share an example, maybe for yourself or for an industry that maybe you work with?
Yeah, absolutely. So the thing that's really interesting about this is it has to start from you not articulating your functional skill. And the moment that you mention your functional skill, you've kind of lost because they put you in this bucket and they're like, oh, I need that or I don't need that. They're trying to qualify you or disqualify you. And it's not something mean that they're doing. The truth is that that's what our brain is programmed to do. So we have to get out of that functional skill. And, you know, actually a good example is quite a while back, I worked with a language coach out of California and she taught kids and adults Mandarin. And she was charging $50 to $80 an hour, no problem for a very long time. And then all of a sudden, she had to change the way that she was selling because people kept saying things like, I can get it from somebody else that just moved into California for $30 to $40 an hour. Or, oh, but I can do that using the free apps from thanks to our friends in Silicon Valley. So she came to me for sales techniques to convince and cajole people. And I'm like, look, if we start here, you've kind of already lost. So what I want to do is avoid the battle altogether. So I looked at all the things she did. And what I realized is for two people specifically, she helped them with far more than just language tuition. She helped them with things like understanding rapport in China, why it's so different, understanding that, you know, you've got to have multiple meetings before they even discuss business, how to handle a business card, why it matters, you know, the difference between e-commerce in China and the Western world. I'm like, Wendy, you're doing so much more for these people than just language tuition. What are you doing? And just like everyone listening, they're stuck in their functional skill. That's why they use it in the networking room. And she said, well, they're just a few things, you know, I'm just trying to help. And I was like, look, is it fair to assume as a result of the assistance you're giving these people, they're going to be more successful in China? And she's like, I mean, that's the point, right? I said, well, great. Let's call you the China success coach then. So when you go to a networking room, say you're the China success coach. Then when somebody asks, what is that? Well, we can talk about what to say in a second, but we had to really restructure our entire business. So she then said, well, you know, okay, what do I sell them? And we ended up creating a China Success Intensive, which was a 5-week program that worked with the executive, the spouse, and any children. Then we said, okay, well, who do we sell it to? Who's the mark that we're going networking to meet? And she said, well, obviously it's the executive. It makes sense. I mean, I moved from Australia to the United States. That was terrifying. Imagine going to China. But I'm like, it's not your ideal client. She's like, well, the companies will pay. And I'm like, yes, a lot of times they got millions of dollars riding on an executive being successful. But still, I don't think it's your ideal client. I said, what I think it is the immigration attorney. Now she looks at me like I'm speaking a foreign language. But I'm like, think about it. They make $5,000 to $7,000 for doing all the visa, the paperwork, the bureaucracy that comes with that. They'd be lucky to make $3,000 profit. I said, offer them $3,000 for a simple introduction. So she started networking for immigration attorneys. And when she met them, she would talk about what I call the passion mission dialogue. And I'll explain that in a second. But they loved the idea of the fact that they're like, double my profit for a simple introduction, because she started offering them $3,000. So they started recommending her by just saying, I just want to double check you're as ready as possible to go to China. And executive would always think they were. They got their visa, they got a place sorted, they learned the language, kids are getting pretty good at it too. So they think they're set. And she would just have them respond, but there's a lot more to it than that. I think you need to speak to the China success coach. She'd get on the phone with the easiest sale in the world. These people were terrified to go. The company was motivated to pay, recommended by their attorney. She charged $30,000 for doing this. Minus a $3,000 commission check, she made $27,000, the easiest sale in the world. And she's networking with attorneys. So you've got to look at the way you target and who you target first. But once you have that, you have your version of the China success coach, which is as simple as saying, what are the things I do outside the scope of my functional skill for one group? And then what's the higher level benefit of that? Then you can then transition into what I talk about, which is highlighting that you care. For instance, when people ask me what I do, instead of saying I'm a sales trainer or a marketing coach, I say I'm the rapid growth guy. And when people say, what is that? Because it's like this weird thing. They don't know what box to put you in. So they ask. I will then say, well, one of the things I love to see more than anything in the world is an amazing introverted service provider with enough talent, skill, and belief in themselves to start a business of their own. But what I find, and I just hate seeing this, is they get stuck in this endless hamster wheel of struggling to find interested people, trying to set themselves apart, trying to make the sale while fighting on price, which is what people only think that they care about. Do you know anyone like that? Now, of course, the answer is always going to be yes, because you should have researched which room to go to. You should have connected with them in advance, which means when they respond yes, I say, well, I'm on a mission to help people like yourself realize you really can obtain rapid growth doing what you love, but not by getting better at your functional skill. You're probably amazing at that, but instead by focusing on just three things outside the scope of that that allow you to build a business that revolves around you, your family, and your life, not the other way around. Actually, let me give you an example, and then I might tell the Wendy story. But notice what I just did. I didn't talk about me at all. As a matter of fact, I didn't even tell you what I do because I don't care. What I did was I talked about what I love to see, what I hate to see, and the mission that I'm on. And then I let the story explain what I do in a way that attaches it to someone. And the science behind storytelling is so powerful to connect with rapport, to get them to remember what you said, and for them to see themselves in that outcome and want it for themselves.
That is super powerful. China Success Coach. That's a really good one.
Well, you know, it's really interesting. I've seen ghostwriters that we've called the authority architect, videographers that we've called the narrative strategist. We've had people in MSP, the people that go and maintain computers, and we've realized their favorite or their what they're best at is helping people go through growth through acquisition and merging all the technology. So we've called them the acquisition lifeguard, because a lot of times the person that grows through acquisition all of a sudden realizes that they didn't take into account the licensing, the tech stack issues, they lose customers, they lose stakeholder support from everybody about growing through acquisition. So he comes in and really saves the day. There's always a unified message that will separate you, but where people get unstuck is they start by saying, you know, well, how could I create a message for myself as an accountant? And I'm like, well, okay, well, who do you work with? Well, I work with everybody. Well, you can't work with everybody and have a unified message that sings true. Now, that doesn't mean, like, I call myself the rapid growth guy. Now, the truth is that that could mean a bunch of different things, but it's got to be authentic to you and the outcome that you provide a smaller group of people. Because, and by the way, this sounds a lot like niching, and it is. I mean, but I call it specialization because I feel like niching has got a bad rap because everybody knows niching works. They just don't do it for themselves because they're different and it's unique. But they're not different. The fact is they're just scared of it. What you've got to say is, well, firstly, if you're worried about changing your whole business model, firstly, most of the people listening get their clients from referral or repeat business. So your current clients don't care if you put on the website, I'm no longer an accountant, I'm a dentist. They're not checking your website as much as you think, and they just don't care about what you say. If they found you were a dentist, they'd say, can you still help me? Or can you help my buddy who I'm referring you to? It doesn't matter as much as you think. Specialization is really about being seen as the only logical choice to a smaller few. Think about what I talked about. I can't really articulate my value well unless I speak directly to my avatar, which is an introvert. And originally, it wasn't even just introverted service providers like it is now. It was introverted business coaches. Once I grew that market, I then moved out to introverted coaches, then introverted professional service providers, and now service providers in general. But what people have to understand is you've got to say, what group do I care about most? Or what group do I get the great best results for? Or which group pays me well and I get, you know, I get amazing reviews from them. But I will say, don't work with a group just because it's practical, right? The truth is I've learned you can create rapid growth out of anything, but there's nothing worse than a rapid growth business with customers you don't like and a business you can't stand. So once you've made that choice, you then say, what are the unique things that I provide that group? And then what's the high level benefit of that? That's how you get to a China success coach or a rapid growth guy. And then you just say, you know, what do I love to see? What do I hate to see? And what mission am I on? And then you create a story. Everything else falls into place. But what I find is that most people are scared to go into a networking room because what if I say I'm really interested in helping introverted service providers? And then the person I'm talking to is an extrovert. Well, then I would say the exact same thing. I don't mold myself to that person. My bet is they've got an introverted friend that they'll introduce me to that's got a business. And because of that, I'll work with them. Like you get MSPs that focus just on accountants. And like, well, what if the person I'm speaking to isn't an accountant? I'm like, well, they might know an accountant and they can introduce you. But if you hedge, then you get nobody as a client or they fight you on price. And that is not what you want. And the worst part is I see people constantly fighting on price because they're a generalist. I see people go to B&I and they like the accountant example. I'm an MSP working with accountants. So you talk about your specialty, what you love to see, what you hate to see with accountants. They're like, well, listening to what you say, you could really help anyone. And they respond with, well, yes, I really could. Now they get all these really bad leads for people that see them as nothing more than a commodity, as opposed to saying, well, in theory I could, but accountants have really specific needs. And because of that, I choose to specialize. Here's the wonderful thing about specialization, by the way. When you hear the word specialty, people assume that you pay premium and they usually have to have a better general knowledge of everything in order to specialize. So people, it actually gives you an advantage even with the lower level groups. And funnily enough, people ask me, well, you know, don't you miss like selling to all the extroverts? I'm like, I've actually had more extroverted clients since I started specializing with introverts because of so many. I mean, I just got a client a couple of months ago that an introverted person hired me. We had great results. They got me on to speak on a stage. I then spoke on that stage and an extroverted guy saw me speak on stage and says, I must hire you because I want to sell my business at some point. And I'm the big out there kind of salesperson. And unless I build a system that other people can utilize, I'm always going to be stuck in my business. Absolutely true. I have more, funnily enough, I just got named Sales Kickoff Speaker of the Year by Selling Power Magazine, predominantly for a keynote that I do on storytelling for my success working with big tech SaaS firms and hardware firms. That's not, most of those people have got bulldog sales reps and they're selling a product. Why? Because one of the people there was very introverted, read my book and suggested me as a speaker. So even when my publisher said, originally, take the word introvert off the cover because you're going to cut out half your audience. I'm like, do I really want to be the one of the 2,000 books or the only book for this other 50%? And that's really been the driver of my success. Now, you know, obviously introversion, extroversion is one of those things that's harder to target, like than say, I work with people that are growing through acquisitions or, you know, mergers and acquisitions are easy to find. I work with, you know, just accountants. I'm a videographer that works with SaaS businesses. Those are much easier to target. So people shouldn't hide away from that. So what I find, it's funny, in my networking book, a lot of times we get by chapter five, I'm like, you probably thought this book was on networking. And at this point, you're probably wondering why everything you've heard is about marketing. Because the truth is, if you can't articulate your message, you're going to fail at networking. Then you'll fail online. So the whole second half of the book is about practically what to say in the networking room and how to navigate meeting people before you even go into the room. But if you do not know how to separate yourself from the crowd and you're constantly fighting on price and being seen as a commodity, going to a networking room just means you're going to get beaten over the head by more people that see you as nothing more than a functional provider and fighting you on price.
So much good stuff, Matthew. So much good stuff. This is awesome. I appreciate you coming back on. Where can people learn more about you? And if they want to, or they're ready to dig into what you've just been laying out, how can they get this framework?
Yeah, absolutely. So firstly, I mean, people don't need to hire me for this. They can go to matthewpollard.com/growth. And there you'll be able to download a 5-step template that'll help you create your version of the China Success Coach, the Rapid Growth Guy, and identify your niche of willing and wanting to buy clients. And I will say, I did this at an event recently, 200 people in the room. And I said, look, who here has got the unified message and they've identified the niche of people that will pay them what they're worth? And like 97% of the room put their hands up, which sounds great. Until I said, look, do me a favor, keep your hands up if this is the most time you've actively spent working on the marketing in your business. Like, I don't mean reading books or listening to podcasts about it. Like, if you listen to this and then go on with your life, it ain't going to help. I mean, actively putting it to work. And about 85-odd% of the room kept their hands up. So the key is this template at matthewpollard.com/growth will absolutely work. You just have to spend the time doing it. And I would highly recommend you get somebody else that's not in your industry to listen to this episode and then workshop with them. Get them to spend an hour on you and then you spend an hour on them. And you'll get transformative results. Now, if you want to learn the networking system, I mean, I break it down step by step in the first chapter of The Introvert's Edge to Networking. You can get that at theintrovertsedgetonetworking.com.
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed as much as I did, show Matthew your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas and certainly people who are in the business of providing a service and who find themselves networking. I cannot agree with Matthew anymore. It's one thing to hear something that sounds like a good idea and then quite another to actually do the work and internalize it and to practice it and just spending the hour or several hours, however long it takes, you'll have that for the rest of your life. So I think it's excellent. Go to matthewpollard.com /growth and pick up that that template for getting started with that. If you want to dig deeper into Matthew's methodology when it comes to networking, go to the introvert's edge to networking.com. Nailed it. Yeah. Awesome. But go to just check out all things Matthew Pollard. I certainly always enjoy my interactions with you, Matthew, and really have enjoyed today as well. So thank you again.
Mate, it was my absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me on again.
Till next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.